Put Jesus first in your life.
Welcome to Classic Christianity Radio with Bob George. Today we are pleased to present a special radio show featuring call-in listeners from Bob's original people-to-people daily radio program that was on the air for over 30 years, offering real answers for real-life problems as he addresses common questions as well as the tough issues of today, directing callers to the centrality of Christ in you, your only hope of glory. We want to remind our listeners that Bob George Ministries needs your financial support to continue to have Classic Christianity Radio on the air. Please visit bobgeorge.net to find out how you can help support us financially. Let's now join Bob as he presents practical biblical insights as he helps people experience a life of faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ.
Let's go to Danny in Nashville, Tennessee on WNQM. Danny, you're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing really good. Thanks, Danny.
Okay, this is my second call. I listen to you every day. I've got a question. In my line of work, I meet a lot of people, and I do some witnessing when it's appropriate. Okay, so do you believe in the Trinity? That's what I need to know first of all. Let me ask you the question.
Well, Danny, as you well know, the word Trinity is not used in the Scripture. Neither is rapture. There's a lot of words that aren't used in the Scripture. But we are told that there is one God, and yet that is declared in three different persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in different parts of the Scripture, every one of those are declared as God. Jesus, as an example, said, I'll raise myself from the dead. In another place, it said the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. In another place, it said the Father raised him from the dead. In another place, it said God raised him from the dead. Well, he wasn't raised four times. It's just a different way of saying God raised him from the dead. And so the Trinity is something that, as a seminary professor once said, if you deny the Trinity, you're going to lose your soul. You try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. God is spirit, Danny, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what in the world does a spirit look like? And we try to put flesh and blood around spirit, which you can't do. And that's why a lot of people get confused in regard to the Trinity, is because we're trying to put flesh and blood on it. And the issue is that if God is spirit, I have no idea at all how spirit exists. But he says it exists in the form of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Again, we try to put flesh and blood on those. But we can't. That's spirit. And so, yes, the Trinity, we're to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you have some people, Danny, who go into this Jesus only bit, and I don't know why they're trying so desperately to cause divisions in the body of Christ, because it's ludicrous. Jesus certainly wasn't talking to himself in the Garden of Gethsemane or even on the cross. The issue is that they talk about being baptized and said, is there anything wrong with being baptized in the name of Jesus? Absolutely not. Everything that God wanted us to know about himself was revealed in Jesus. Is there anything wrong with that? But don't deny the source of all truth, which is God the Father. Jesus said that. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. So the source of all truth is from God the Father. So that kind of wraps up a little bit as to about the Trinity there, Danny, and why we do believe in the Trinity.
Well, that's what the question was. You know, I was like the scriptures in Revelation, I think it's 1:8. He's saying, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I think in going to John, and it's talking about the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
sure.
That sounded like to me that God is Jesus, you know, to me.
And, God is Jesus, so is the Holy Spirit God, and so is the Father God. So you can't deny the existence of those. So I really encourage people to quit complicating this thing like a nitwit. We sit around and try to act like we're so smart on things that we've got everything figured out. God is Spirit. And if it says in the Bible that God the Father is God and God the Son's God and the Holy Spirit's God, take that as truth and quit trying to fool with it. I'm just saying that's what people are doing, Danny, is they're trying to, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Well, the Word became flesh. Who became flesh? God. Who sent him? God the Father. Well, and who was Jesus talking to in the Garden of the Gethsemane? Himself? No, he's talking to God the Father. And so we just have to accept that. I say many times, Danny, I don't think we can totally comprehend that. We can apprehend it, but I don't think we can totally comprehend that. We have no basis. I tell people it's like an egg. An egg's made up of a yolk and a white and a shell. Which one's the egg?
Right.
You got the yolk of the egg, the white of the egg, and the shell of the egg, but you only have one egg.
Well, they didn't believe in it at all, you know. And now they similarly look at the scriptures and stuff, but yet they come back to me, and I know when I go back down there, they're going to ask me this question. They say, well, you know, if that's true, they said when Jesus was on the cross, and he looked up and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And said, well, who are we talking to there? And you say, God is Jesus. He said, what is he doing? Is he talking to himself? So, you know, that kind of puts me in a, I'm trying to search for that. And I know Trinity is a man-made word. It's not in the scriptures. I can't find it anywhere. So,
no, it's not there, but neither is the rapture. But there certainly is a declaration of us being snatched out of the world. So the Trinity is there's one God. Take a look at in the Genesis 1, in the beginning, a God created. The word is Elohim. Elohim is a plural word. Old Testament rabbis would scratch their head with that and say, how could that be? God is only one, and yet Elohim is plural. Let us go and confuse their language. Who's the us? It isn't Jesus there by himself. Let us go down and make man in our image. Who's the our? And so plurality in the Godhead was all through the Old Testament. It was just not understood or comprehended until Jesus came and made it clear. So the very people that these people are trying to say is the only one that is God is the one who clarified the fact that, no, God exists in a person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Remember where it says that all things will be put under his feet, and it goes down and say that does not mean God himself?
Right.
And so, these people who are doing this Jesus-only thing, Danny, are doing a great injustice because a lot of their teaching is pretty right on and good, even at least what I've heard in regard to the teaching of grace. But they've gone off in a Zuluville here, and just another way to come up with something to divide the body over an issue that is just not plain not true.
Right. Well, it's just too complicated to try to explain to them. You know, I've just been trying so hard, and they just keep coming up with something else. I don't know. We'll just leave it alone, or
absolutely. You know what? You know, Danny, people come down, and they think I've got a new insight that you don't have, and brother, that's where the pride of man comes in. Bro, I know something that you don't know. No, you don't. I got news for you. I believe the denial of Trinity is the denial of God. And I believe that people who deny the Trinity are denying who God is. Just the same as a Muslim is denying who God is. Anybody who does not take, who believes that Jesus came over and dwelt over here in America, that isn't the Jesus of the Bible. And the Jesus of the Bible is God the Son. And he talked to God the Father and said, I do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. I say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it and how to say it. Now, how in the world could someone be talking about himself?
That's true.
And so that's just, it's an idiotic theology that somebody has come up with. But there's no, you say, well, Jesus is God. Of course he's God. He's called God the Son. We say, well, how could that exist? Because God's spirit. So quit trying to put flesh and blood on spirit and figure everything out. I can't even figure out electricity, let alone the spirit.
Well, thank you, Bob. I'm going to leave them alone now. I think I'll start.
I would, too. I would, too. Just let them wallow in their ignorance for a while. Maybe they'll come to their senses sooner or later.
All right, thank you, Bob.
All right, brother.
Classic Christianity Radio is a listener-funded program, and because of your generous donations, we are able to be on the air. Go to bobgeorge.net online for more information about how to purchase helpful books and Bible study materials to guide you as you grow in your relationship with Jesus. The bobgeorge.net website also has additional information on how you can join us financially to help support the radio ministry. With your prayers and support, we can continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's continue now with the teaching message.
We're going to go to Merced, California, listening on KCBC. Larry, you're on the air.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine, thank you, brother.
Well, I'm not doing too well. I'm really having doubt about my salvation. I believe that I gave my life to Christ when I was about 22 years old, and I really felt the presence, and I read the gospel, but I didn't join with the church and get into the fellowshipping, and I guess, well, probably because of that, I went back to my old sinful nature and started drinking again. And so I'm 45 now, and I've been drinking about for 20 years, denying any, denying that I was an alcoholic or had a problem with the drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also bipolar. Have you heard of that before?
I just don't believe in it. You know, I don't believe any of that's true.
Okay.
But that's beside the point. Okay, well, Larry, let's get to your problem. Number one, you're not going to find bipolar in the Bible. And it says in the Bible that it's not what a man puts in his mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of his heart. So literally, you also don't have a drinking problem. You have a heart problem. And what you said there is that you gave your heart to Jesus, and that certainly could be true. But the issue is did he give himself to you? If you have come to Christ, Larry, by recognizing the truth of something, you have to come to a recognition of your condition. You've spelled out some of the things very honestly to me about your condition, except when you get into that psychological gobbledygook that people always have to have a name for so that they can give you medication. If they can't give you a name for something, they can't medicate you. So that's why you've got all these bipolars and anorexics and bulimics and everything else out there, instead of just calling it what it is, and that's a preoccupation with self, which is how the Bible would spell that out.
So, what about schizophrenic? Is that just another?
Same thing. It's a double-minded man that's unstable in all ways.
Right. Okay.
So again, double-mindedness is, you can put a psychological name on it. I'm not going to be able to give you a drug by saying you're double-minded, but if I can call it some big fancy name, why, then I can get you a drug for it. And now we're finding out that all these drug companies are planting these drugs in people and then finding out a few years later that it kills you. And then they say, whoops, excuse me, and take it off the market and move on.
Right.
The issue is that God didn't call us to alter our minds. He called them to renew our minds. And that's what I want to talk to you about, Larry, is renewing your mind. The first thing you have to have come to conclusion to is your condition. Here's what God says is the condition of a lost man. He's a sinner. And if you were like me, you have no problem at all arguing with that standpoint at all, that you're a sinner. You also have to say that there's a consequence to sin that's called death, spiritual death. When Adam died, he died spiritually. And what death is the absence of life. So the life of God departed from Adam, leaving him alive to the world, but very much dead to God. We're born in that condition, Larry. We're born dead spiritually.
Right.
And the only solution to death is life. And the only life available to you, to a Mormon, to a Buddhist, to a person in practicing Muslim religion, Catholic, Protestant, doesn't make any difference who.
Right.
You're
any
dead.
Anybody.
You're dead. And if you're dead, you need life. And the only life available to us is the resurrected life of Christ Jesus.
Okay.
And that's why Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Why? Because you're dead. I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he goes ahead to explain that whosoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. And so he's not talking about in the sweet by and by when you leave this earth. He's talking about right now you need spiritual life. But why would you need spiritual life if you didn't understand that you were dead spiritually? And so those are the two things that a man must come to grips with in his life. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing is either I'm ignoring the life that is in me or I do not have that life. I have not truly yielded to the life of Christ to say, Lord, I've been leaning on my own understanding. I've been doing it my way, as the song goes, and I want you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and my Savior and to give me your life. I thank you for what you did at the cross. You took away my sins, never to see them again. No man will ever go to hell because of his sins, Larry, because the sins of the world were placed on Christ Jesus, and there he who knew no sin became sin for you so that you could become the righteousness of God in him. So the only question that God will ever ask any human being on the face of this earth is, what did you do with my son? Did you ignore him and his sacrifice and his life for you? Or did you accept him and to acknowledge your sinfulness and acknowledge his provision for you at the cross and to recognize your condition of spiritual death and ask him for life? That's the only question that I'll ever ask someone. And so as you're contemplating what your condition is as we talk right now, if you're in a situation of being able to say, no, I know full well that I fully acknowledge the fact that I was dead spiritually, and I fully acknowledge the fact that the only life available to me is Christ Jesus, and I really did ask the living Christ to come in and take up residence in my heart, or I'm not sure that took place.
I can honestly say I'm not sure that took place.
Okay. Well, I can tell by your heart, Larry, that you want that to take place. And
yes.
And that's so simple for you to do. And what I want to suggest for you tonight is this. If you're willing to acknowledge the fact that I just quoted you scripture, just quote one, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature.
Excuse me?
In the scripture it says, when you were dead in your sins. So in other words, an acknowledgement that, Lord Jesus, if you said that I'm dead in my sins, and that's exactly what I am.
Right.
And if that's where I am, and you said to me that I came to give me life, I want your life. I recognize what you said is my condition. And I recognize what you said is your provision, is resurrected life, and I want you to come in and to give me your resurrected life. Right. And if that's your heart's desire, Larry, we can settle that issue tonight, thanking God for the fact that he's taken away your sins, never to see them again. He's not dealing with you on the sin issue today. He's already dealt with that. The verdict was guilty, the punishment was death, and Jesus took it for you. And so the only thing we're left with is thanking him for his provision at the cross, where he took away the cause of spiritual death, and asking him to now come in and to raise you from the dead spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's your heart's desire, I'd love to pray with you tonight as you ask him to do that. Do you think that's your desire tonight, Larry?
You know, right now I am in a mental hospital.
That's okay.
And, okay. And and I go through depressions, and
I understand all that, but the issue is, avoid the issue. The issue is, do you recognize, I don't care whether you're a mental hospital or not, quite frankly, you can't tell the difference between that and what you see on television.
Okay.
If your condition tonight, because you're talking very logically, so you're not insane. Why you're in there, God only knows. But the issue is that if you're willing to acknowledge what God said, because you can't rebel sin against the truth. If what I've said to you is true and all I've said to you is scripture.
Right.
And if Jesus is God and he said the scripture is true, well, then the scripture is true. And so if you recognize what the scripture has said about your condition, forget all this other stuff you're going through. Your basic condition is spiritual death, and the only provision for that is the resurrected life of Christ. And if you're willing to acknowledge that, Larry, and invite Jesus to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you will be born again. You will have the life of God living in you. You'll have the mind of Christ living in you. And you can start renewing your mind on truth and letting that truth set you free. And like two girls in Louisville, Kentucky, that were taking treatments in a mental hospital, shock treatments in a mental hospital, who got a hold of this truth through our depression series and walked out of that hospital in 2 months, today having a ministry to thousands of girls in that area. You don't need to be in a mental hospital. You're lucid. You can talk. You can think. But you need to come to Christ so that you've got a mind greater than yours living in you that will guide you and direct you into the paths of righteousness.
Yes.
Do you want to do that tonight, Larry?
You know, Bob, I so much want to, but there's some part of me that just, I compare myself to Pharaoh, you know, the hardening of his heart. And I feel that my heart has been hardened. And
same sun, Larry, that melts wax hardens clay. It's not the fault of the sun. It depends on what it falls on. Pride will harden your heart. And all pride is saying, I don't need this. I'm going to do it my own. Now, here you're sitting there. You've got all kinds of evidence that you can't do it on your own, to the point that you're stuck in a stupid mental hospital someplace. Now, that ought to tell you, you can't do it on your own, Larry. And so it's pride that keeps you. Pride is what hardens your heart.
I know I have.
Very simple.
I'm a very proud person.
Yeah. Well, then get rid of that pride. You ought to realize by now that it hadn't done you much good. I mean, how could you be pride when you're in the shape that you're in and in the condition that you're in? So why don't you recognize the fact that, Lord, I've been acting like an idiot because I'm not a big deal. And what I want to do is be guided by someone other than myself because I haven't done too well and by trusting myself. Would you agree with that? You haven't done too well trusting yourself,
yes.
Have you?
Yeah,
give Jesus a try.
Yes. I'm just the facts are there. I'm 45 years old. I really don't have been drinking.
You haven't done
my life away.
You haven't done too well on your own. And Larry, that's understandable. Nobody can do well leaning on their own understanding. God in the man, Larry, is indispensable to the humanity of the man, just like a light bulb in electricity in a light bulb is indispensable to the function of the light bulb. It's a fine instrument, but it will not function apart from electricity. And God designed you to not function apart from God living in you. And we go out and try, and God says, okay, give it a whack, and I'll follow you around. But right now, you're in a situation where you ought to be in a situation of saying, I cannot do it. It's obvious. I've proven to myself that following my own inclinations is not going to work. And so, Lord Jesus, if you want to come into my heart, and save me, and take me, and to guide me, I'm asking you to do it this very night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's also, I'm stuck on this elect, the chosen of God.
The chosen of God was into Jew and Gentile. It has nothing to do with yous and me's, Larry. That's a theology that has no biblical bearing to it at all.
Okay.
He chose the Gentiles for salvation and the Jews for salvation, but there's some Gentiles that refuse and Jews that refuse.
Right.
And so don't get hung up on that. This is an individual. God is speaking to you tonight, Larry, and asking you, are you willing to come unto me and let me bring peace to your heart?
Yes. Yes, God, I am.
Okay. Let's pray, Larry, then, if that's your heart's desire, and I think that is, then let's pray together. And I'll say a prayer, and why don't you just repeat it after me? But you're not talking to me, you're talking to God.
Okay.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I need you.
Lord Jesus, I need you.
I thank you that you took away all my sins at the cross.
I thank you for taking all my sins away at the cross.
Never to see them again.
Never to see them again.
So that you could now offer me your life.
That you can now offer me your life.
I now ask you to come into my heart.
I now ask you to come into my heart.
To be my Lord and my Savior.
To be my Lord and my Savior.
And my best friend.
And my best friend.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Larry, based on the Word of God, it says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become a child of God. You just received him. What have you become?
A child of God.
Child of God. I, too, am a child of God. So what are we?
We're family.
We're brothers. You're brothers, absolutely.
Brothers.
I've got a new brother in Christ. I'm rejoicing with you. It says the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. And you're now in a position of entering into a brand new realm of life altogether, Larry, where you're able to be plugged in to the Word of God and to learn on the Word of God and to grow in your knowledge of His absolute love and grace for you.
And I truly believe that.
Yeah. Do you have a Bible there at the hospital, Larry?
Yes, I do.
Do you have one? Okay. Are you able to receive literature?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to send you some literature, Larry. Do you like to read? Are you able to concentrate and everything?
Sometimes it's hard in here, but because mm-hmm. it's a madhouse in here.
Yeah,
I
know.
I do, and Larry, like to read.
I'm telling you something, in my opinion, you don't belong there. I'm going to be praying my brains out that you will get out of that as soon as possible and start living a newness of life in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Bob.
But I'm going to put you on hold. We want to send some information to you. I want you to stay in touch with us. I want you to call us anytime. Don't think you're going to overcall. Call anytime to talk and to get any question answered that you have, because I want to see you grow and I want to see you get back to normalcy.
Okay.
All right, my brother.
Okay, brother.
God bless you, Larry. You hang on, because we're going to get that information to you, okay?
God bless you, Bob.
You too, Larry. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Classic Christianity Radio with Bob George. We are a listener-funded program, and your financial support is greatly appreciated. Your generous gifts keep us on the air, and they help so many people find hope in Jesus Christ. Go to bobgeorge.net online for more information about how to purchase helpful books and Bible study materials to guide you as you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to our next Classic Christianity Radio broadcast with you. In the meantime, remember to always put Jesus first in your life.
Put Jesus first in your life and turn